welcome to another episode of The Window, your international football podcast. I'm your host, Joe Gould, joined by my other host, Brandon. How are you, Brandon?
Joe, I'm excited. We are getting to the end of World Cup qualifying, and I can't wait.
Yes, the rubber definitely hits the road this time. This is probably one of the most exciting things going on in the world right now. So we're pretty excited to be able to dish and talk about it. So, and we definitely have a lot to break down. So we're going to jump right in. I think the plan is, just for the listeners, we're going to start with OFC. Qualifying has officially begun with Oceania, and then we'll jump around from there. So yeah. Oceania, what's been going on? A lot, actually.
It was a long time coming. This is actually the first time where we're doing a pod where there is action in all six confederations.
Isn't that awesome? That's so cool.
It is. So cool. It took until March 2022, but it has finally happened.
Yeah. And
immediately a team had to leave because of COVID.
Yes. That is the big storyline that is coming out of this, as you may expect, I guess. But yeah, it's kind of started to wreak a little bit of havoc on the tournament. And the country that had to leave was
Vanuatu.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. And so, unfortunately for them, you know, they pulled out. We are through two rounds of games, however. And yeah, as it's looking right now, we've got, there's two groups, right? Eight teams. Although with Vanuatu pulling out, now there's only seven. So in Group A, you've got the Solomon Islands, Tahiti, and the Cook Islands. And in fact, only one, I guess, one round of games in that group has been played so far. So Solomon Islands sitting on top. They took the win over Cook Islands. And then in Group B is the country that I think most people think is going to come out on top anyways. You got New Zealand, Papua New Guinea, Fiji, and New Caledonia. They have all played two matches, and New Zealand sits on top with 6 points. They look pretty strong, as you may expect. Papua New Guinea and Fiji each sitting on three, and then New Caledonia with nothing. I've actually been able to catch the last half of the second game for between New Zealand and Fiji, and yeah, it was good. It was fun to watch that. New Zealand ran away with it. It was a 4-0 win for New Zealand, and so. Yeah, positive vibes there. And I don't think that we can really see any other team. It'd be a real upset at this point in time, I think, if New Zealand got knocked out.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, you look through their group, they've already beat Papua New Guinea, 1-0. Not a huge dominant scoreline, but you know, they did pull that out and then it really took care of Fiji 4-0. So I mean, New Caledonia is already eliminated. And then really from the other group, you know, you're looking at Solomon Islands, Tahiti, Solomon Islands, you know, okay, they beat Cook Islands 2-0, but they're probably the only nation that, you know, I think is potentially going to pose a threat to New Zealand, but it's probably not much of a threat.
Yeah. It took New Zealand a little bit of time to break Fiji down, which is potentially a concern, especially because you know that come the intercontinental playoff with the CONCACAF team, that CONCACAF team is probably going to be defensively a little more sound than some of these teams. Yeah. So New Zealand's going to need to sharpen their teeth a little bit here. But did want to mention real quick that going into that match against Fiji, Chris Wood was on the cusp of breaking the all-time New Zealand men's goal scorer. And he actually did break it in that game. So he of course, obviously tied it for the 2-0, I think was the score. And then he broke it for the 3-0. And so, yeah, he's got 30 goals in 62 games for New Zealand. So congratulations to Chris Wood. That's a pretty cool thing to have underneath your belt.
And so, you know, New Zealand, they, you know, they have one final game against New Caledonia. You know, if he plays, I would not, you know, be surprised if he continues to alley to add to that total. And then you're looking at semifinals and finals. So New Zealand potentially has three more matches this window up until, you know, the OFC champion is decided. So he can certainly go on and score even more.
And it's a good thing to have him scoring goals. That's definitely what New Zealand wants, right? He's going to be their main man. But New Zealand has actually a very interesting squad. They have some up and coming talents, names that probably not very many people are going to be too familiar with. But definitely, I think a team that could rally and in a playoff situation like that on neutral ground, I think that there's potential to, you know, cause what I would deem as a little bit of an upset. So, but we don't want to count the eggs before they hatch. New Zealand still has work to do. So, we'll see how they fare. So, that's kind of it for Oceania right now. I guess maybe we should note that you actually can watch the matches for free. And Brandon put that link out on the We Global Twitter account. So if you're interested in watching some of those games, you can find the link there. Anything else you wanted to add?
No, just if you're looking for them, there aren't games every day. So
this is true.
The last group stage is the 24th, which is Thursday.
Yep.
The semifinals are the 27th, which is Sunday. And then it wraps up on the 30th, which is next Wednesday, where the OFC champion will be crowned.
Yep. So by the next time we record, we will know for sure who's, well, we'll know a lot because not only with Oceania, but also with every other confederation, you know, we'll know
29, unfortunately not 30, but we'll talk about that in a little bit, but we'll know 29 of the 32 teams by the next time we record.
There you go. Yep. So, let's hop over to, I guess, just north of there, into Asia and talk about what's going on there. So the final two rounds of qualifying, will occur over this break. And so already qualified for Asia is, Iraq and South Korea, right?
Iran.
There we go. Thank you. Yes. Iran and South Korea, who actually they play each other, funny enough. On Thursday. So fun match, meaningless match, I suppose, but
yeah, we've gotten some questions about if Iran could potentially creep up into the second pot. I think it's for the World Cup draw. I think it's probably going to be unlikely. They would really need, you know, something crazy to happen to Uruguay, most likely, for them to sneak up and get there. So it seems unlikely. They may try, we'll see, but you know, I think for the most part it's not going to mean a whole lot.
We mentioned it briefly on the last pod, but we're gonna bring it up again here. This is a humongous window for Group B in Asia. The Group A with Iran and South Korea, we probably won't spend too much time. But with Group B, there is quite a lot going on there, right? So Australia plays Japan, and then Australia plays Saudi Arabia. No, is that right? Let me double check that. I might be incorrect.
Australia plays Japan, and then Australia plays Saudi Arabia. You are correct.
Okay, cool. Yeah, so that's a big, big task ahead for them.
It is.
I've
read they've been having a lot of issues with COVID as well, but they've had a lot of players that have dropped out, that, you know, they were expecting to be there. Aaron Moy won't be there. A few others as well have pulled out. So, you know, they were already kind of up against it, and just, they're not going to be at full strength, it appears.
Yeah. That's going to make it even more tough. Right. So, poor Australia. I mean, you never know what can happen. You know, they could put together a result, but right now I think both of us are kind of feeling like that's unlikely, at this point in time. So,
yeah. So, I mean, where they're at, you know, I think just quickly taking a look at the standings, you know, Saudi Arabia is on 19 points, Japan on 18, Australia on 15. The other three teams have been eliminated. So Saudi Arabia at this point, they only need a win from the two matches. So they play China on Thursday. A win over China will clinch a spot for them. And Japan, same, you know, they're playing Australia. So if they beat Australia, they will also clinch a spot. Still can get there regardless. They play Vietnam in their final game, but you know, Australia's got a 3-point deficit to overcome and they're playing the two teams that are above them. So it, you know, it is somewhat in their own hands. If they win both, they're probably going to finish ahead of Japan. But it is definitely a tall task.
So whoever ends up in that third spot, which we think might be Australia, is going to play the third place from Group A. And that's actually a little bit of a race right now going into this break. So you've got the UAE on 9 points, Lebanon on 6, and Iraq on 5. Obviously, UAE has a little bit of a stronghold on that third place, but there is definitely potential there to, you know, drop. They play Iraq first, which will be an interesting test. Basically, Iraq is going to need to win that game if they're going to stand any chance of securing that third place spot. So,
and anything other than a win will eliminate them. If they draw against the UAE, they're out.
Correct. And I was reading the other day, this was going to be the first window in I don't know how many years that Iraq was going to be able to host a game finally in their own country, right, in Baghdad. But then both FIFA and AFC have decided to pull that game and place it on neutral ground. So little bit of a disappointing event, a series of events for Iraq. I think a lot of people over there, some of the ones that I personally follow on Twitter, were looking forward to maybe having a game finally on home soil, but that's not going to happen. So it makes it all the more tough for Iraq.
It is kind of interesting because, you know, as I just mentioned, if they don't win, they're eliminated. But if they do win, they're in a not bad spot at all. Because a win will pull them within 1 point of the UAE with one match to play. And in the final match, Iraq plays Syria and the UAE plays South Korea. So Iraq could win too. And they could definitely leapfrog the UAE. So I think, you know, Lebanon's a team we haven't really talked about. They are at Iran in their final match. They've got goal difference to make up. I think it's probably not likely. And obviously, I think we both agree the UAE is most likely to claim that third spot. But that's definitely one to watch for me, is the Iraq-UAE match this Thursday. Because if Iraq does get a win, it is very, very possible that they could, you know, overtake the UAE and grab that third place spot.
Right. Yeah. And because Lebanon, their last game is against Iran, who currently lead the group. So that'll be a tough ask, I think, for Lebanon going into this break. Again, you never know what can happen. But yeah, UAE, Iraq, that's going to be, I guess, what in our top, what are we tipping the top five games to watch? That's one of them.
Yes, that will definitely be up there. For me, it is kind of tough. I mean, Australia, Japan is also.
That's a big one too.
Right? There's more at stake there in the immediate term. But, you know, if you're looking for one of kind of the more dark horse teams, that UAE, Iraq one is definitely one to watch.
Right. Cool. So that's kind of Asia in a nutshell. Anything else that you wanted to add there? I think for me, I would add that, you know, whoever does get into those third place spots, obviously they play each other in a play out, and then that team will play CONMEBOL or South America.
Yes.
Which is going to be tough no matter who it is. And if I remember correctly, that game is also on neutral ground, right?
It is.
They've stripped all the play-ins.
Just everything is playing in Qatar. Yeah. If you don't know where the game is, it's in Qatar.
It's in Qatar. Nice. I love it. Cool. All right. Well, hopefully we did Asia justice there. Let's go ahead and hop then over to South America. Let's do South America next. Okay. I think Ecuador, I think a lot of people are looking at Ecuador to be able to maybe qualify after this next round here, which will also be on Thursday. Thursday is a big day. If you don't have that in your calendar, you should have it in your calendar. You've got games all over the world. We start with Asia, and then Oceania picks up, and then we hop over to Europe, which we'll talk about in a little bit. Then CONCACAF kicks off before South America. Then South America is kind of wedged in between the first kickoff and then the last group of kickoffs. So yeah,
I think CAF may have initially also been on Thursday, and then they realized that everybody else was playing on Thursday. Like, let's actually have people watch the games on. We'll move it to Friday.
There you go. Which I actually like, and I respect. Yes, I respect that. Although I do, as much as I like it, I do wish that they could stagger some of these games a little bit and not have two kicking off at the same time. But we'll get to that later.
Yes.
Yes. So back to South America. What are you thinking here, Brandon? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, so I mean, I think Ecuador is in. They haven't mathematically qualified yet, but in all of our simulations, they qualified. So even losing their final two matches, we still have them qualifying directly 100% of the time. So they've got a huge lead in goal differential. Peru has ground to make up. Uruguay's got ground to make up. And so, you know, just we think the way that the schedule has worked out and what Ecuador has remaining, you know, they are going to be in Qatar. So for me, I would check that box and say, yes, they're going to be the third team to directly qualify. And then really from there, who is your fourth team? And so, you know, Colombia is still able to be that fourth team. It's extremely unlikely. But you're looking at Uruguay, Peru, Chile, and Colombia.
Yeah.
And I think Uruguay's got the edge. They had a great window back at, you know, the end of January, beginning of February. They finally righted the ship. They took a look at their squad. They're full strength. They are ready to go. You know, they've got a lot of confidence. But they play Peru immediately, who is right behind them. They're 1 point behind them in the table. So, you know, if Uruguay does win that match, that could probably be enough, because Chile's at Brazil. Chile also is Uruguay. But if Uruguay wins that and Chile doesn't beat Brazil, and Brazil, Uruguay's in. They don't need anything else. They're in. And so I think if they are able to do that, they're probably going to claim that fourth spot. If they don't do it, I think there's a chance for Peru to kind of sneak up and overtake them. Peru is only 1 point back. From a goal difference perspective, they're one goal back. Uruguay is currently -3. Peru is -4. So they're right there. And I think you're going to see Peru come out and just try to get anything, just not concede, because the final match day, they're hosting Paraguay and Uruguay's at Chile. So, they'll probably try to get something, but you could definitely see them really just try to hang on, knowing that, okay, let's, you know, leave it to the final match day. We've got Paraguay at home and, you know, hope for the best.
Yeah. So it is going to be absolute chaos, and I'm so ready for it. but for Uruguay, you know, it's very interesting if you've been following kind of what they've been doing since they've been in camp this week. It's just a total change from, you know, what it was under Tavares last year. Right. And that was the whole reason for the switch, right? They just needed a kind of a renaissance of sorts, and they've certainly got it. And one of the things that has really stuck out to me this week that I've seen is, you know, Luis Suarez actually came out, and on his own social media account, he posted you know, it was so nice. It's so nice to be able to play with a smile on my face for Uruguay again, right? So something along those lines, right? And yeah. I was just like, wow. Like,
yeah,
you know, major respect for Oscar Tavares. I absolutely love him. I think he's a fantastic coach. But that does speak volumes, I think, to where that team was at last year and the change I think that they're going through right now.
Yeah.
And that gets me excited. And so, yeah, I would pick Uruguay to stay in that fourth place.
Yeah. And we talked about it too, in that just looking at the roster relative to the rest of the teams in South America. And we had said numerous times that,
yep,
you know, there's no reason they shouldn't be up there with, you know, Brazil and Argentina. They're not, you know, probably not at that class, but shouldn't be clearly head and shoulders above a number of teams in South America.
Yep.
And you could sense that they needed just some injection of life into that squad. And
for sure,
you know, they got, you know, some matches that they could win. And I think their confidence is back. And I mean that Uruguay Peru match, for me, that is probably number, I guess it's not fair to kind of, we've got home, you know, we've got head-to-head matches in CAF and UEFA, but in terms of matches, I would say that are still kind of working through the groups, that's number two for me, probably this window. And I'm sure we'll talk about number one in a little bit.
Yeah, no doubt. So I agree. And we'll definitely be tuning in there. And I guess I have to say, if my uncle's listening to this pod, as much as I love you, I want Uruguay there. Sorry. I know he wants Peru. He's a big Peru fan. His wife's from Peru. Yeah. It's nothing personal. Anyways, real quick, going back to Ecuador, I did just want to say as well, they're fun to watch. And I think that's part of the reason that they're in the position that they're in. You know, it's a new generation of players and they're playing well. Yeah, they're going to be a really fun team to watch the World Cup. So I'm excited for them.
Yeah, they only need a point they can mathematically clinch without getting, you know, without anything happening, but they only need a point to mathematically punch their ticket to Qatar.
Yeah. I'm going to go out on a limb here and I'm going to say that Chile doesn't get any points this window. I think they're going to lose to Brazil and I think they're going to lose to Uruguay.
I could definitely see that happening.
Yeah. And so I think Peru will take that fifth spot. And so the way that the standings are right now actually is how it's going to finish is my prediction. So
I think that's actually very realistic. I would not be surprised to see that as well. I just wanted to throw some numbers out there just in terms of, you know, we ran some different scenarios, just kind of what each team needs and what happens if they get to a certain amount of points. And so looking at Uruguay, they're currently on 22. So obviously they can, you know, get to 25, a win and a loss. 28 obviously is their max. They would qualify directly. If they get to 26, we have them qualifying 100% of the time directly. If they just get to 24, so basically two draws, we've got them, you know, 50-50 to qualify directly, but 100% to at least reach the playoffs. So I think from Uruguay's perspective, they're in a really good spot. If they get just one win, you know, they're 100% for the playoffs. They're probably 82-ish% to qualify directly with just one win. If that one win's against Peru, obviously that goes way up to, you know, just about 100%. So, you know, Uruguay's in a great spot. Peru, you know, also not in a bad spot, even though they're on 21 points. If they're able to get to 25 points, there's about a 2-3 chance that they qualify directly. So a win and a draw. So that, you know, that's in play. But it also, if they get to 25, there's 100% chance they get to at least the playoffs. If they get to 24, one win, one loss, 96% to get to at least the playoffs. So I think, you know, Peru and Uruguay, you know, as we mentioned, are both in really good position. Chile and Colombia, the fact that they have a lot of points to make up. Chile's at Brazil. Colombia does get Venezuela, but and Bolivia. So there is a chance for them to get there. The concern more. So I agree. I think Chile, I would not be surprised if they got 0 points. Colombia, I think, could even get 6 points. I don't think that's impossible. Even that may not be enough.
Right.
Because if Peru gets a win over Paraguay, let's say Uruguay gets a draw against Peru or beats Chile or anything along those lines, even with 2 wins, Colombia is still out. So I think they're too far back. I think they probably leapfrog Chile. That might be the only change that I would see, but I still think they're just too far back to get there.
And I will say to you a slight caveat on Venezuela. You know, they're sitting in 10th right now, but actually in the last window, they played very well. They have a new coach. Peckerman is the new coach. He used to coach Colombia. And I think he's a quality coach. And I think you're going to start to see a little bit of a renaissance in Venezuela as well. So I would not be surprised if we see Venezuela able to pull some sort of result against Colombia in that last game, because
they've been one of our most disappointing teams this campaign. We did think that they would kind of break through. It hasn't happened yet. They've only scored 2 fewer goals than Colombia in all of qualifying.
Right. And if obviously it's too late now, right? They've already been eliminated. Yep. But you know, in terms of playing spoiler, I guess is where I'm going with that, is I think that they're capable of doing that. So it'll be very interesting to see what Colombia can put together.
So your picks are Ecuador and Uruguay directly, and then Peru for the playoffs.
Correct. And actually, you know, I would say as well that I think Peru, of maybe all the teams, Chile and Colombia included, you know, to take that playoff spot, you know, I think actually Peru might be the team that gives Australia, assuming it is Australia, that's my guess, the best chance of getting through.
Yeah. I think that is totally fair. I think if Australia, I would say, avoids Uruguay, I think Australia is going to have a good chance against either, you know, Peru, Chile, or Colombia. They'll still probably be underdogs, but not by much.
They'll probably be underdogs going in almost any scenario, right? Yeah. I would give them a better chance of beating Peru than I would Chile or Colombia. Yeah. So
okay,
interesting there. But
all right.
Cool. All right. Well, that's CONMEBOL. That's South America. Let's head north to CONCACAF, and there's gonna be a lot of fireworks with this one too.
Indeed.
I think we should just go ahead and hit it off with the big one. USA Mexico this Thursday. Very late kickoff. It's 10 o'clock our time. That's Eastern time for whoever's listening. And if you're in other parts of the world, you'll probably be sleeping. But for us, that is a big game. So, and the reason why is A, it's not only a rivalry. Okay. But B, you've got Costa Rica steaming from the back, right? You've got Mexico, who was lucky to get some of the results that they did last window. They're not necessarily firing on all cylinders. You could probably say the same thing about the United States, and the United States is missing they're missing two key players. Brendan Aaronson out injured, not in the squad. Unfortunate. He picked up a knock this last weekend.
Yeah.
It was really close. Sucked.
It was close to whether he was going to be able to or not. And I was following that and didn't make it.
I think it was a hamstring injury, I believe, a hamstring tear. And then, of course, Weston McKennie out as well, which is a big blow. So, and then for Mexico, Hector Herrera is suspended. So, it's going to be a total dogfight. It's probably going to be one of the ugliest games this window, if I'm being honest. But in terms of the energy on the field and just the passion between these two teams, it's well worth watching.
Yeah. I'm going to be up late Thursday.
Same.
That's just a fact. Not only for the game, but I'm sure for the post game as well.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully it is a positive, but I mean, It's going to be a big one. Despite Weston McKennie and Brendan Aaronson being out, Pulisic's in. Viorena's in. Who else am I forgetting? Tyler Adams is in.
Abson Moose is there.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's some players that have missed previous matches are there. McKennie is the big loss, obviously. You know, it's one of those things where it's kind of, I think it's kind of funny because it's like, if you're a fan of club, you're like watching these international matches be like, oh, don't get injured, don't get injured, don't get injured and ruin our season. And I'm thinking the complete opposite, watching Weston McKennie and Pulisic and everyone else, and don't get injured and ruin the USA's chances to qualify for the World Cup.
Yes.
So it's one of those where it's like, Twitter's blowing up. Weston McKennie just went down, and you know, it's like, all right, forget about the club. It's all about the World Cup. So,
yeah.
He's going to be a, you know, sorely missed, especially, you know, with what he's contributed in qualifying thus far.
There will be absolute scenes if the U.S. somehow gets a win in Mexico. First of all, they've never done it in a qualifying game. Yeah. So that would be a first. And second of all, that would mean that they went undefeated against Mexico. In literally in the last 12 months. or over the last 12 months, I guess. So that's crazy. On the flip side, though, for Mexico, you know, they've been beaten by the U.S. three times. In recent months, they're going to come with a chip on their shoulder. They are going to want to get the 3 points at home. They're going to want to avenge some of that. And, you know, conceivably that could make things interesting for the United States if we come away with a loss there, because Panama starts things off with Honduras. Honduras, as we know, is out. They have nothing to play for. And it's a home game for Panama as well. So they play pretty well at home. They're strong there. So I would expect them to get 3 points in that game. I suppose one thing that we should mention, Costa Rica, who is only a point behind Panama, they play Canada first. Canada can qualify for the World Cup if they win that game. So Canada will want to do that. It will be a tough task. They're going to be in Costa Rica for that game. However, if Canada can pull that out, that could give everybody else, US, Mexico, and Panama, a little bit of breathing space.
Yeah.
There's a lot of scenarios going on here too, because, and before you take it away, Brandon, just, the U.S. Mexico game probably isn't even the biggest game for the United States in this window. The USA Panama game at home in Orlando for the U.S. is probably the biggest game here.
Yeah, no, I would very much agree. And it's like one of those things where you look across the board and it's like CONCACAF is the only team, confederation with three matches left. We're talking about AFC. We're down to the last two. CONMEBOL worked it out. They're down to the last two. There's still three matches in CONCACAF. And so, there's a lot of room for things to get shaken up. But you look at that USA Panama, that's the one that, you know, I've got figuratively circled on my computer in front of me. But the USA is 4 points ahead of Panama. And if they win that match, Panama can't catch them, no matter what else happens in qualifying. So I think that is, for them, the bigger match. I just hope that, you know, I think it's hard to kind of look past a match at Mexico, but I just, you know, we've talked about it how many times where, you know, you come out of a game and it's like the message is, well, it's okay. We didn't really need that one anyway. And I'm concerned that, you know, that's what we're going to hear coming out of that. I hope I'm wrong. But it's not the end of the world if they do lose to Mexico. It's not. And I think that's, you know, needs to stay in perspective. If either team wins that match, Mexico, USA, you're almost certainly in Qatar. You're, you know, 7 points ahead of Panama, against Costa Rica before they even play a match with three matches to play. So one win, you got to be feeling really good. But the USA Panama one, it's not the next up, but I would agree it's probably the bigger match for the USA.
Yeah. And then so after Mexico plays USA, they actually finish with two of the bottom teams. They've got Honduras and El Salvador to kind of close things out. And so, you know, their road is a little bit easier, whereas the US, their final game is in Costa Rica. So, you know, it's possible by that point in time that Costa Rica could be out of it, you know, and really have nothing to play for. And it could be a moot game, which would be fantastic, strictly from a US fan point of view.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, you know, trying to stay a little bit neutral here, you know, if Costa Rica can get a result against Canada at home, you know, then I think that that scares everybody silly, and that changes, you know, once again, that changes things. And, you know, going into Sunday's round of games, you know, could really just,
And I think it's concern, hopefully we'll see if, you know, we do end up in that scenario where you're talking about qualifying directly versus going to the playoffs, as opposed to qualifying directly versus completely being eliminated from qualifying. So, but yeah, Costa Rica, they've been hanging around. They've scored all of 8 goals in 11 matches. But there they are on 16 points and 1 point behind a playoff spot. So, I mean, they're playing one of the bottom three teams on the road, and then they get two of their better teams at home. So, you know, if they take care of business at home and get a point on the road, you could see them on 23 points. If they get to 23, we've got them with a 94% chance to either get to the playoffs or qualify directly. And it would probably be the playoffs if they end up on 23 points, just with how the schedule is set up. But we'll see. I mean, they certainly have an opportunity. They're not out of it by any means.
Right. So running through a couple different scenarios here, assuming it is Panama in that fourth playoff spot, and then they go on to play New Zealand in neutral ground, what do you think?
Our numbers say Panama, but not by a huge margin. Currently in our rankings, we've got Panama at number 58 and New Zealand at number 71. So we give a slight edge to Panama, but I think New Zealand, I think they have a chance if it's Panama or Costa Rica. I think if they're getting Canada, US, or Mexico, I think they would probably miss out.
Yeah. I completely agree. Panama is not strong away from home, right? We know this about them. And that's the only thing I think that makes me consider, you know, giving New Zealand, you know, greater odds, excuse me, in that match. Where on the flip side, I think if it's Costa Rica in that fourth place, I think I kind of bunched that with the top three, and I don't give New Zealand quite as much favor, I guess, in that game. So,
yeah, as it stands, we have it New Zealand against either Costa Rica or Panama with a 76% likelihood. So, you know, it is extremely likely that you're going to get to those playoffs, and it's going to be New Zealand against either Costa Rica or Panama. So, you know, those are probably the two teams. I definitely think that they're, you know, they have a chance to win that.
Yeah. Great. Anything else on CONCACAF?
I am excited. I'm nervous. I have gone through a range of emotions that I'm sure will change over the next few days, but I'm hopeful that, you know, a week from now, 9 days from now, when we talk, we're celebrating a World Cup ticket punched.
Yes. Agreed. It's a slow week so far. Thursday is not coming quick enough. So yeah. We're almost 24 hours away. More like 32 hours away, more or less. Kind of. Anyways. Mass.
I look forward to having a few beverages and yakking on some of the Twitter spaces after the matches.
There you go. Me too. All right. Europe or Africa? What do you think?
Let's go Europe first and then finish up with Africa.
Okay. Europe. So yeah. Given current events, that has played a little bit of havoc into this whole qualification process for UEFA. Obviously, with the war going on between Russia and Ukraine, from what I understand, Poland has been automatically progressed through because UEFA is not allowing Russia to participate.
Yeah.
And without getting too political, that is actually something that I agree with. maybe we just leave it at that.
Yeah. Let's actually just discuss, a different angle there. And that is just with the exclusion of Russia, mm-hmm. UEFA's decision to just progress Poland automatically.
Right.
And so, we put something out there, just a few different options for, before everything was known. And UEFA, had a few options. One, obviously, they chose to progress Poland directly. Mm-hmm. The second option was finding a replacement team. And then you get into, okay, well, if we find a replacement team, who is it? Do we go into the group where Russia was and pick the third place team? Do we go back and say, we're going to take the best third place team from qualifying? Do we dip again into the UEFA Nations League pool and take the next best team from there? Ultimately, they decided no replacement, even though the match date technically was available. That was, that semifinal would have been played on. And they progressed Poland to the final round without a replacement team. So what do you think about that decision from UEFA?
I think they had to do something, and that's what they decided on doing. And for me, I guess, I don't really have strong feelings either way. If I'm being perfectly honest, I think it would have been okay in my book if they had found a team to replace Russia there and had Poland play in that game. I think would that have been maybe more quote unquote fair? Yeah. But we're getting down to the wire here and a decision had to be made, and I'm okay with it in the end. What about you?
Yeah. I would say I'm a little disappointed, more so because of location, because Poland is going to host the final. And so, when Russia and Poland were set to play, the winner of that was going to host the final. And they didn't change that. They basically said, Poland, you're through and you're hosting the final. And I think to me, for them, they basically need to win one match at home to get into the World Cup. And Sweden needs to win one at home and one away. Czech Republic needs to win two away to get there. I think it gives Poland a massive, massive advantage. I wonder if, just speculating, but, the allure of a Robert Lewandowski at the World Cup, maybe influence that decision a little bit, maybe not. I would have liked to see a replacement team. I understand that, you're pulling basically a team that has been eliminated already back into the competition, which is always tough. So I'm okay with the decision, but I probably would have preferred to see them at least, pull a replacement team, even if they played at home, and make them win two games just like everyone else has to.
Yeah, and you make a really good point, about giving Poland perhaps an easier road than the other teams, right? And how is that fair? And everybody will be up in arms about that, right? And those are all, those are all fair arguments. But again, at the end of the day, a decision had to be made. And I guess, that's what they, I over the last couple of weeks, since this whole thing broke out, I've listened to a lot of things, read a lot of things about, just want FIFA to have a clear course of action for when something like this happens, right? Because you have wars that break out in other countries in Africa, and, you know, even other countries in Europe and, yeah, and all around the world. Right. And, you know, what is the protocol in place by FIFA for this? And yeah, so it just leads for an interesting discussion. I mean, we're not going to hash that out here. You know, that's a very opinionated discussion and potentially a deep discussion, right? But it's, you know, it's, I think it's fair that people are bringing that up, and yeah. So I guess I just kind of wanted to point that out that, yeah, you know, I kind of tend to agree. What is the protocol, and you know, how would it affect the country that we live in? You know, there's a good possibility, considering, you know, the United States and I guess the influence they have on some of the goings on in the rest of the world, that, you know, you could potentially be disqualified from being able to qualify for a World Cup if, you know, certain protocols went into place. Right. And so it's just something interesting to think about, and yeah. And I don't want to go any further than that. So.
All right. Well, with that being said, we have a path. It is Sweden hosting the Czech Republic,
mm-hmm,
with the winner going to Poland. Who do you like emerging from that path?
Yeah, so we had a little fun on our Twitter account this morning, which, if you're not following us, by the way, please do. But we went and we put out some straw polls on Twitter. And so I'm just going to read through, as we kind of go through these, I'll just kind of mention what everybody's saying. So people were pretty strong on Sweden getting through in this, yeah, in this match. It was 82 to 18%, right? And so not a whole lot of people giving the Czech Republic any sort of chance. You know, it is a home game for Sweden. And I have to be honest, I agree. I think that Sweden has a really good opportunity to face Poland. You know, the Czech Republic, they have a lot of talented players, but I just don't think that, you know, kind of unlike what they did in the Euros this last year, I don't think that they'll be able to replicate that and put together a result here. I just think Sweden will be too strong.
Yeah. I agree. And I also think, I wouldn't say 82%, but we give Sweden a 62% chance, which, with the exception of Italy and Portugal, is the highest number that we give any team that's playing in UEFA. So we like Sweden. They're playing at home. They're looking, I think, looking very strong. And I think I would be very surprised if the Czech Republic did come away with a win there. And then you get into the final match at Poland, and you kind of wonder, right? Like we just said, Poland has an easier path, but they're coming in cold, and, you know, they're going to not have that experience of just winning a match. Whoever they play is just going to have one elimination match, and with that team. So I think you're going to see that team come in with a little bit of a momentum. I still think Poland, just only having one match and being able to play at home, is going to get them through, but it's not a given by any means. And I think I would give the edge to them slightly over Sweden. But if they play Sweden at home, I think it's probably close to a 50-50 match.
I completely agree there. I was just trying to find actually the call up list, because I'm curious. So it looks like Zlatan's back, mm-hmm, which is sort of fun.
I love how many times you can say that he's back.
He's back. Yeah, seriously, right? But one player in particular,
Alanga's there, right?
Alanga is there. That's right. Yep, and then also Kulusevski, who, yeah, you know, he's making some noise right now. So, yeah, Sweden has some offensive firepower, you know, and they are traditionally a very strong team in the back. So, yeah, that'll be That'll be a fun one to watch. I think. I mean, I'm planning to do all these, so it doesn't matter. But
I know.
But yeah.
UEFA, stagger the matches, please.
Yes, please, please
stagger the matches,
please, please.
Every all four of the matches that are on Thursday are at the exact same time in UEFA. So
right, Branimir Hrgota getting a call up too. Look at that! Wow. All right, that's a blast from the past too. Jeez. Yeah. All right.
So who is your pick out of that path? Poland, Sweden, or the Czech Republic?
So Poland has a new manager. I believe this will be his first game in charge, if I'm not mistaken.
The big one.
So that makes things interesting. Even though they're at home, I'm carrying Sweden. I'm carrying Sweden.
Yeah, I cannot fault you for that. I think they're without the home advantage. I think Sweden is the better team. So I think it'll be interesting to see how much that home field advantage plays in. But just for our listeners, both Poland and Sweden are in the top 20 of our rankings. So one of those two teams is going to miss out on the World Cup. So 32 teams right there off the bat, one of our top 20 is going to be out. So I think they're both great teams. I'll give the slight edge to Poland. I'll pick Poland just, I think being at home, gives them a bit of an advantage, puts them over the top, but that would be a great match.
Well, then there's the Lewandowski, property, right? Or factor.
Lewandowski, Zlatan to go to the World Cup. I mean, can't ask for more than that.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's fun. That's really fun. All right, cool. Who do you want to go to next?
Let's just kind of go to the other affected path, path A. Wales versus Austria, Scotland versus Ukraine. So we're not going to know this window who is going to qualify from that path. So the Scotland-Ukraine match has been postponed to June. The final match has also thus been postponed to June. So Wales is going to play Austria still in March. They have not postponed that. So of the three matches that will take place in this path, only one is going to be played this window, which is Wales-Austria. So Wales is playing at home. I would be pretty surprised if they do not win, honestly. Austria did not have a good qualifying campaign. They finished outside the top two in their group and had to qualify via the Nations League path. They were beaten by Scotland in their group, and they're in the same path. So I really favor Wales here. But again, we're not going to know here who the team that qualifies is until June. And then one additional thing, which FIFA just announced today in terms of the draw for the finals, initially whoever had won would have been known prior to the draw, which is going to take place on April 1st. But because of the postponement, FIFA has come out and said that whoever wins is going into pot four for the draw. And you've got some good teams in this path. Wales, Austria, Scotland, Ukraine, there are no bad teams in there. They're really tough. And so because of the delay, Wales, Austria, Ukraine likely would have been in pot three. Scotland would have been borderline, but probably would have been in pot four anyway. But the winner goes into pot four. So ultimately, whoever does qualify, one, they're going to have a tough group at the World Cup because they're going to be playing teams from pot one, two, three, and vice versa. The teams that draw them are going to have a tougher draw. So another kind of, unfortunate result of what's going on in the world. But, I think it's a tough decision to just say, just throw, one of those teams in pot four.
Yeah. I take Wales as well. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think it would be really fun to have a Wales Scotland final in this path. That's discussion for another time, I guess. But yeah, so going with Wales here also. And that's a strong team in pot four. So
yeah,
I'm sensing group of death waves
coming from that.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Potentially. So
it could be, you know, there are two teams in the US and Mexico that are potentially pot two teams. So something to look out for.
Yep. Yep. That's, all right.
So the first two paths have been interesting on their own. The third path is probably the most interesting because you're watching the UEFA draw unfold. And there are two teams that most people felt were the best two teams that were going to be in the playoffs in Portugal and Italy.
Yep.
And of course, they're drawn to the same path.
Correct.
You're seeing conspiracy theories floated. You know, they would never do that. They'd never do that. And they did it. And one of Portugal and Italy will not be at the World Cup.
Yep. Down with the haters.
And Turkey and North Macedonia are standing in their way. So I assume you're going to pick North Macedonia.
Well, but so before I do that, I just want to go back real quick because I forgot to mention the poll results. So you, you guys agreed with us as well. You said 80-20 for Wales over Austria. 80%.
Yeah, I think that's a little biased because like 80% of our followers are also from Wales.
Yeah,
I'm actually surprised it wasn't a little bit higher. Apparently we have some Austrian supporters flowing through there, or maybe just some Scotland haters. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But probably more the latter.
There you go. All right. So back to path C here. So I'm actually not going with North Macedonia as much as I would absolutely love to see that happen. I think that would be so fun. But no, that's I'm not going there. And you guys actually agreed with that as well. You took Italy 82% over an 18% chance for North Macedonia is what you guys said on our poll. But yeah, Italy, I mean, they are missing a couple players, but you know, they're extremely talented. And I just think they match up better in all areas of the pitch against North Macedonia. And that's not to say again, that North Macedonia can't spring a surprise here. You know, they are fully capable of doing that as we've seen against Germany. And so, yeah, it's, that's going to be a really fun one, to see there, but I'm picking Italy. What about you?
I will also go out on the limb and pick Italy in this. But I agree. I liked North Macedonia as kind of a dark horse heading into the draw. And I think had they gotten a more favorable draw, I think they would have stood a much better chance of, you know, maybe winning one and maybe not necessarily winning two and getting there all the way. But, you know, they're not going to be a pushover. I don't think Italy's going to win as easily as a lot of people think they're going to win. I could be wrong, but I mean, Italy throughout World Cup qualifying did not look like, and especially in the fall, really after Euro, did not look like the same confident team that, you know, was so dominant. And so, you know, I think we're going to see more of that team. I don't think we're going to see the team we saw at Euro right now, against North Macedonia. I think they're going to put up a tough fight. I do think Italy will win, but I don't think it's going to be as easy as a lot of people think it will be.
Yeah. All right. So then in the upper side of this bracket, right, or however you want to phrase that, you've got Portugal playing Turkey. This has suddenly become a very interesting match because Portugal right now is getting absolutely hammered with injuries. So, let me read off who is missing from this Portugal squad right now. Okay. You've got Pepe, Ruben Dias. So that is both of their starting center backs.
Yep.
Their starting center back duo is gone.
Pepe is like 50, but he's still a starter.
Exactly. João Cancelo, Nelson Semedo, Renato Sanchez, and Ruben Neves. And then I'm pretty sure as well,
the keepers left.
Correct. Anthony Lopez.
Oh, Lopez. Yeah.
Yeah. Lopez. Yeah. So Jose Sá is coming in to replace Lopez. Yeah. Okay. That's fair. Pepe is out because of COVID. Right. But the leadership at the back is gone. It's just crazy. So
And the interesting thing is that the Portugal coach, Fernando Santos, he's actually received a lot of stick in over the last few years about who are they bringing in terms of replacement center backs, who's the future generation there. Right.
Yeah.
And he just, that there isn't anybody to necessarily, I mean, there is, but not with the experience. Right. And so it's going to be really interesting. They called up Thiago Diallo from the U21s. I think, you know, he's a capable defender, but again, it's that experience thing. And so for me, I'm picking the upset here. I'm going with Turkey, you know, even though Portugal's got Ronaldo and he is perfectly capable of, you know, turning the game completely on its head. You know, I have been impressed with how Turkey has played over the last, I guess, year or so, right? They didn't have the greatest outing at the Euros, but their World Cup qualifying campaign has been fairly decent. And they were in a pretty tough group, right? They had Norway in their group. They had the Netherlands in their group, right? They also had Montenegro as well.
Yeah.
Right. And so I think that there's something going on there. So I am picking the upset here. I'm going with Turkey.
Very interesting. I think this is one that we, I think, disagree. Not necessarily with the negative impact that the losses in the Portugal squad will have, because I do think that is going to be a big detriment. I just don't think Turkey is very good. And that's, to me, the issue is, I think that, you know, Turkey got by when they needed to. They absolutely got the results. You know, they won at Montenegro on their final match day. You know, they had the match that we talked about a lot where Latvia, you know, gave them trouble. I don't know. I just never have confidence in Turkey going into a match. I think they responded against some weaker teams when their backs were up against the wall, but they're playing in Portugal. And yeah, Portugal is not at their best, but I think at their best, Portugal is a much better team. And also playing at home, you know, even with that, I do think Portugal will be able to get by Turkey. I think they're going to run into more trouble with Italy, though. Whereas kind of headed into this, we thought, okay, they're home for two. Portugal and Italy are relatively comparable in terms of quality, which I'm sure some people would say is debatable. But, you know, Italy has had their shortcomings as well. But I think that's really where you're going to see Italy. That's got a lot of dangerous attack, and, you know, that lack of back line for Portugal. I think they'll be able to get by Turkey, but I think they're going to run into trouble with Italy. And I think just looking at that now, I initially picked Portugal. I'm going to go back and say Italy's going to make it through this path.
Yeah. All right. We're split.
But you also raised an interesting point that I want to bring up now. So you like Turkey to beat Portugal. If Turkey wins, they actually host the final. So if they do get by Portugal, they're hosting Italy. What do you think happens in that match?
Yeah. So I would, yeah.
You want to keep rolling?
Yeah, that's tough. I mean, that would be a really cool atmosphere. Probably in Istanbul. You know that the Turkish people are going to be out in force for that game, right? That's going to be a really, really, really tough environment for Italy. But no, I will go with Italy.
Okay. So you've got...
got some March Madness going on here.
Yeah, you've got one path where we don't have the winner. And in the other two paths, you have picked the road team to emerge.
Yep.
Yeah. All right.
I think it's
wide open. I think it, you know, so many of these teams, especially once you get to the final, I think so many of these teams are just, they're so close in quality. It's wide open.
Yeah.
you may not have these stats in front of you, and maybe I should have brought these to the table, but I'm curious now what the stats are in terms of home team moving on. It's got to be substantial, I would imagine. So
yeah,
something for the next episode, maybe.
What I can tell you is we give on average home teams an additional 0.55 goals. That is in our formula. So that is the home advantage. Do with that what you will.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah, I'm hanging my hat on it. I'm sure I'll get some stick, which is fine. But yeah, everybody else has got Porto, and even in the poll too, 70, although this, to be fair, this one was a little closer than I expected it to be. I thought people would be, you know, Portugal 99% of the way, but it's actually a 71-29 split. So
yeah,
I think, you know, I don't think I'm alone in,
I think that's fair. I think Turkey, I will agree. Their chances, I think, are certainly better than they were before. Mm-hmm. You know, all this happened.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. That's UEFA. Real quick, one note that I did have that I wanted to mention, and it doesn't have to do with any World Cup qualifying, but just real quick, I just wanted to wish Hannes Halldórsson a happy retirement. He was the Iceland goalkeeper for when they made the Euros, and also at the World Cup. So he is retired now. You may know him as well, because he was on what is it called? Eurovision, is that right? Is it called Eurovision?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. he was a singer, right? I think. Anyways, can't remember, but he is retired now. So happy retirement, Hannes. Okay, last but certainly not least, and perhaps the one that I'm the most excited about. Although that's a really tough, that's a hard statement, because I'm excited about all of it, but we're going to Africa, baby.
Yes.
So there's a lot of fun ones to break down here.
Yeah, and we're just coming off of, they just had their continental championship, and
yep,
no better place to start. The two teams that were in the final of that, sure enough, are playing head to head for one spot to go to the World Cup.
Obviously, we're talking about Egypt and Senegal here. So what's your prediction for this game?
Man, I'm going to stick with Senegal. They're the champion. I think that, you know, I just think they're a better team than Egypt. I know, you know, Egypt is one where we just always get a lot of just, how do you not like Egypt more? And it's not that we don't like Egypt. It's more so that we just think Senegal are better. And, you know, they're the champions of Africa. They beat Egypt, albeit, you know, not easily. And so I think that, yeah, Egypt's going to be looking for revenge, but I just can't see the Senegal team just missing out on the World Cup.
Well, and, you know, you're also sporting their kit, so. You know.
I am. I forgot to sport it the last time after they actually won, so I had to make sure I got that in.
There you go. He's making up. Yes. I agree with you. And for me, the reasoning is perhaps not just because Senegal is the better team, but also because Egypt right now is gonna be missing some key players. My mind is escaping me right now for who exactly those key players are. A goalkeeper perhaps, and then I think there's maybe one or two defenders, if not more, who are going to be absent. And I think that's going to play a role. I would enjoy either team at the World Cup, if I'm being honest. But Senegal's got basically a full strength squad, and yeah, I think over two legs, I think Senegal will be the better team.
Yeah. Senegal, you know, through the first round of qualifying, didn't lose a match. They didn't lose a match at AFCON.
Yep.
Nobody's beaten them.
Yep.
And so I just find it hard to pick against them when nobody has beaten them. And yes, they drew a few matches, but nobody has beaten them. So
correct.
I'm going to keep rolling with Senegal. I think, you know, Egypt, again, in World Cup qualifying, also didn't lose a match. And they had a very good AFCON. But I think it's going to be just a great back and forth. I do like that these, you know, ties are two legs, whereas in Europe, it's just one. So, you know, in your, you know, you have one bad game, you're out in Europe. I think over two matches, the better team should advance. And so for me, that is Senegal.
Let's go to the, what everybody's calling the Jollof Derby. that is between Ghana and Nigeria. Ghana gets the home leg first. So Jollof, if you don't know what that is, it's like a traditional rice dish, down in those countries, right? And both Ghana and Nigeria, it's a frequently served dish there. And you know, they each have their own spin on it. So the debate is who makes the better Jollof rice, but, it's a fun little spin on what is, you know, a pretty decent rivalry in all regards. In terms of our straw poll, should go back to that real quick. So you guys said, let's see if I can find it here. You guys actually took Egypt, which is interesting. So 53-47, it's very tight, very tight. Which, you know, I think we kind of agree with that. In terms of the Ghana Nigeria matchup, everybody's going for Nigeria, 74-26%. And I'm just wondering if that's, you know, coming off the back of AFCON. I think obviously it is.
Yeah.
You know, but to be fair, Nigeria didn't fare a whole ton better than Ghana did. You know, they only made it one round further, and this will be very interesting. Ghana,
Nigeria did win all three matches in the group stage.
This is true. That is a big difference. That's true. But that's a good point.
But it also is true that they only made it one round further.
Yeah. And this is what I love. I absolutely love it. So, you know, all the rest of the countries are announcing their squads last week, and a lot of them came on Friday and Saturday. And Ghana sitting around waiting until, like, I guess what they deem to be the last possible moment, leaving everybody in the dark, whether this is an antic ahead of the game so that Nigeria can't properly prepare because they don't know who's in the squad. I have no idea, but Ghana did not officially release their squad list until today.
Who were they waiting for? Like, I mean, were there some like surprise Ghanaian players that they were bringing out of the woodwork? You know, I am probably, like, you could probably call me a Ghana hater. I think that's fair to label me a Ghana hater. They're 82 in our rankings, number 82. And they showed that they were not very good at AFCON. So I don't know what they're trying to do.
Yeah. I think both of us probably have the same pick for this one. I'm going Nigeria. I think you are as well. For me, you know, not only is the team, I think, lacking cohesion, you know, but I also think that, I know for a fact that the Ghana FA is just in complete disarray right now. And I think that's going to translate onto the field. I like Nigeria. I like the quality that they have. I like the quality they have going forward.
Agreed.
I don't think they're the best team in Africa, but I definitely think they're better than Ghana.
Yeah. I think they're a team where you can pretty confidently say they benefited from the draw.
Yeah.
Right. Because they could have just as easily drawn Egypt. And if they draw Egypt, I think a lot of people would pick Egypt to beat Nigeria. So you know, the draw is not always fair. And especially just kind of with how the pots were set up, I don't think the FIFA rankings did a good job of ranking the quality of African teams appropriately.
Yeah.
And I think it created some matchups in, you know, you're in a head to head where the draw is hugely, hugely important.
Right.
You're pulling Ghana where you could have pulled Egypt. You could have pulled Cameroon.
Right.
So I think Nigeria benefited from that. I think Nigeria, not to say that Nigeria is not good. I think they are. I just don't think they would have been necessarily favored against some of those other teams. So good for them. I think they're going to qualify.
Yeah. Something to note about the Nigeria squad, though, they will be without arguably their best midfielder. Wilfred Ndidi is out injured. So that's a blow there. Innocent Bonk has been called up in his place. Definitely not a like-for-like replacement, but I think that Nigeria has the quality where that's not going to necessarily make that huger difference, kind of like you're arguing with Portugal, right?
Yeah.
So I'm taking the flip side of the coin for this one, and yeah, I think Nigeria will be okay. All right. How about Mali, Tunisia next? So this one for me feels pretty even across the board.
I would agree.
I think for me, so look, Mali's brought in a couple new players. For example, Abdoulaye Doucouré, he currently plays for Everton. He's 29. He was capped to France. He switched his allegiance to Mali. He's going to be there. What kind of influence will he have on this team? I don't know. Nobody probably really knows. Tunisia, they're tough to play. You know, we saw that in AFCON, right? They pulled a result out. In fact, I believe it was them that knocked Nigeria out. Was that correct?
It was. Yeah. It was.
And, you know, I don't think many people expected that. So for me, if I'm being honest, I would like to see Mali move forward here, just because there would be a debutante for the World Cup.
Yeah.
You know, that's nothing against Tunisia. But I like the talent that Mali has. I mean, I like the talent that Tunisia has as well, but for me, you know, I'm leaning towards Mali in this one.
Yeah. So, Tunisia and Mali were in the same group at AFCON, and Mali beat Tunisia 1-0.
There we go. That's right.
So, we do have a bit of precedent there. Tunisia played a 1-0 match against Mali. I'm sure you'll be surprised to hear Tunisia played a 1-0 match against Gambia. Tunisia knocked out Nigeria 1-0, and then Tunisia was knocked out by Burkina Faso 1-0. So you know what you're getting with Tunisia. There are not going to be a lot of goals.
Right.
And so I think from Mali's perspective, their objective, if I'm the coach of Mali, I'm just go out and try to score.
Yeah.
Like, you know, they're tough to break down, but if you get a goal, you get two goals, that might be enough over two legs,
right?
Just with how Tunisia plays. And so if I'm them, I'm, you know, trying to score. I'm not trying to hold on and like sneak one by them or anything. Cause that's what they want to do. They want to make it an ugly game. They want to, you know, sneak it out in the end. And that's just how they always play. You know, in terms of quality, I agree. We've got Tunisia ranked number 8 in Africa. We've got Mali ranked number 9 in Africa, virtually identical in terms of just our numbers. I don't know. My heart says Mali, my head says Tunisia is going to pull it out, but I don't know. I think Mali's never been to the World Cup. They're really the only team left that has a real chance of being a debutante at the World Cup. I'll pick them. I'm obviously rooting for them. I would like to see them make it for the first time. And I'm not a huge fan of the Tunisian play style. So I'm going to pick Mali. And I would like to see them really, you know, just go for it and you know, throw it. This is it for them. So
right,
go for it and try to get the win.
Right. I agree. And I think Tunisia will have a really hard time containing Ibrahima Kone. You know, he's a big guy. He's hard to, you know, he's hard to bring under wraps. That was one thing that Nigeria didn't really have, that I think would have made a difference in that game. And at AFCON is, you know, they were without, Victor Osimhen. And so I think, you know, kind of having that, that central striker and trust me, he's big. Yeah. You know, and he is a proven goal scorer. He's already racked up 11 goals in 10 appearances for Mali. You know, I think that plays to their favor. And, you know, and plus Mali also has other talents that we've talked about before on this show, like Mohamed Kamara and Yves Bissouma, Amadou Hidara, Adama Traore, yeah. Right?
Mali has not been beat. Like, between World Cup qualifying, they had 5 wins and a draw thus far. In AFCON, in the group stage, they had 2 wins and a draw. So 7 wins, 2 draws, no defeats. And then they lost to Equatorial Guinea on penalties. So across AFCON and World Cup qualifying thus far, Mali still has not been beat in regular time. So we'll see what Tunisia can do. But, I mean, Tunisia has lost in both World Cup qualifying and AFCON. So Mali is definitely going to be tough.
Cameroon, Algeria. All right, this is a big one. So Algeria, obviously one of the major stories coming from AFCON, just completely flopped. A lot of people thought that they would get perhaps to the final and maybe even win the whole thing. They're going up against Cameroon, who did not reach the final. They were in the semifinals. Still a very good team. Again, a matchup to me that feels very even. So how are you feeling about this one? For me, you can flip a coin.
Yeah, I agree. And this, again, you know, the comment we made earlier in terms of the draw, right? Our top 5 teams in Africa right now are Algeria. You know, we're not brutally lowering them in our rankings as a result of 3 AFCON matches. Algeria, Senegal, Ivory Coast, who isn't even in it, Egypt, and Cameroon. So of those top 5, 4 are still in it, and they're all playing each other.
Yeah.
And so it's another one where Algeria's got to be thinking, like, we got a terrible draw. You know, I think Cameroon is playing with a lot of confidence. Yes, they did not make the final. They lost to Egypt on penalties. At AFCON, but they looked really good. And a lot of it, I'm sure, is the fact that they were able to play at home, which, you know, that's not going to be the case. Well, in the first leg it is, but they're going to have to go back to Algeria. And so I don't really expect Algeria to win the first leg. I think if they get a draw, they'd be thrilled, because nobody wins in Cameroon. And I think Algeria could be in some trouble if Cameroon does get a win in that first leg, because then coming back to Algeria, they have to win. And so I don't know that they're in a position to necessarily win. So I'm kind of, although our numbers still say Algeria, just from a, you know, rankings perspective, you got to be concerned with what you saw at AFCON. And so for me, I think Cameroon feels like the team that's going to qualify.
I'm very curious to know, or I guess to see how they come out, and, you know, at the start of that game, are they playing with desire, right? With that hunger, right? Because of what happened to AFCON or not. And if they're not, then I think Cameroon is taking this one.
Yeah.
So I'll go Cameroon as well. For many of the same reasons that you said. In our poll, actually it's the opposite. So we're at 55-45 in favor of Algeria. So also very tight, but you guys have Algeria going through, so that's interesting. And then I did want to back up slightly and just mention that you guys had Mali going over Tunisia 56-44.
I think all these, you know, the matches that we've been talking about have been close. I think if you're Algeria, I think being on the road in the first match is not a good thing.
Right.
If I'm Algeria, I'd rather come out at home establish some sort of lead, because basically if you don't win at home, you're probably not going to advance. Like right. That's just in the first leg,
right?
Unfortunately, how it's probably going to go. So at least if you're home, you kind of know, okay, we have a lead, or we're kind of already out of it.
Right.
Just going into Cameroon, where they just were and had a horrible experience. They're going right back there to play against Cameroon.
Right.
I just think that could be a totally demoralizing game for them. If they lose 2-0, I think they could come back in the second leg and just be like, just not have any sort of fight in them.
Yep. I agree. And so, yeah, we'll have to keep an eye on that and see how that pans out. All right. So the last and final match, that we're going to cover, or I guess there is in Africa, Morocco versus Democratic Republic of the Congo.
Yeah.
So this one to me, I think, is the most straightforward of all the matchups.
I would agree as well.
And you guys agreed too, with the poll going 81 to 19% in favor of, Morocco. And yeah, I agree with that. I was high on Morocco for AFCON. Nothing I saw really changed my mind.
Yeah.
I was disappointed to see them drop out, but they have a really quality team. Unfortunately, perhaps to the surprise of very few, although to the desire of many, the relationship between the Morocco coach and Hakim Ziyech and now Nasser Mazraoui, hopefully I didn't mutilate that, but has not been repaired. Both of those players are not called into the squad for Morocco. For me, with this opponent, it doesn't matter. Yeah. But if Morocco does qualify for the World Cup, it seems unlikely that those two players will be going. And that makes me sad because I'm a huge Ziyech fan. I'm not a Chelsea supporter, but I do love Ziyech. I loved him when he was at Ajax.
Yeah.
I just think he's an amazing player to watch. And I would love to, I think he could be an instant upgrade for Morocco, make them even better than they already are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think, when you talk about a World Cup, I'm hopeful that, both are able to put, the opportunity for the country ahead of personal squabbles. It doesn't change what's going to happen approaching that, but I agree. I think Morocco is a clearly better team. They have more quality. They've continued to show that they're among the best in Africa. Democratic Republic of the Congo barely squeaked by out of their group against Benin. What's that?
A weak group, by the way.
Yes, indeed. Probably, arguably the weakest in qualifying. They didn't even qualify for AFCON. So, you're talking about a team that is coming in cold, has not played the level of competition of Morocco. I think, if they keep it close, I would be surprised. I think you're going to see, in the first leg, for them, they're able to play at home, meaning, Congo DR, but I think you're going to see Morocco really dominant in this matchup.
Yeah, I completely agree. Yep. So it sounds like both of us have Morocco going.
So are we in agreement on all five? It sounds like Cameroon, Morocco, Senegal, Nigeria, and Mali.
That's right. We are.
Okay.
Book it.
That will be an interest. That's an interesting five for Africa. So that would leave Algeria out, Egypt out, and Ivory Coast is already out as well.
Correct. Yeah. Wow. Yep. Some big names there.
Indeed.
But it is, that's what it is. So, all right. Well, yeah. We just went around the world. So
we did.
Bravo us. Look, I just want to say, I really hope that all of our listeners enjoy the next 14 days.
Yeah.
It's going to be a lot of fun. I guess not 14 days right now. It's more like what, 9 days a week ish.
And then, and then not only that, too, the last match is going to conclude on the 30th.
Correct.
The draw for the finals is on April 1st. So 2 days after this ends, FIFA is going to release their rankings that are going to be used for the pots for the draw.
Yep.
And then the draw is 2 days later. So between now, right now on March 22nd, as we're recording, we know 15 teams that are going to be at the World Cup. Mm-hmm. 10 days from now, we're going to know who's playing who at the World Cup.
Crazy.
Yeah.
That's insane. So while we're there, did you want to discuss some of the ticketing stuff
that
you
To share with the listeners, I'm excited to announce that I have acquired tickets to go to Qatar.
Yay.
We'll continue to try to get some more. So we currently have 3 games. We're going to try to pick up some more. It appears there's been a lot of demand for tickets. We applied for 8 matches, got tickets to 3 out of the 8. So there's been a huge, huge demand for tickets. I really think that because all the stadiums are so close, which is, really what they've been advertising, everything's around Doha, everything's in Doha, essentially. All the stadiums are close. You don't have to change hotels. You don't have to travel across the country. You can get to every single stadium very quickly from where you're at. So I think that's been, a huge attraction. It's made tickets tough to get. So FIFA's doing everything, all at once, it seems like things are flying by. They released tickets. They announced, at the beginning of March, if you got tickets, they're releasing another batch of tickets. They're doing the draw. They're releasing accommodation. Flights are out there. They're releasing more tickets. So everything is kind of, full speed ahead for the World Cup at this point.
Awesome.
It is an exciting time.
For sure. All right. Do we go over the announcement that they made earlier today about the pots, about who's going into pot 4?
Not entirely. Okay. The pots, I think, were kind of the last piece kind of headed into the draw, that we wanted to just touch upon, because, there had been speculation about how the teams would be divided, what the groups are going to look like at the World Cup. What are they going to do about the teams that, aren't settled by the time the draw is done, because they're doing the draw on April 1st. 29 of the 32 teams will be known. It would have been 30 without the postponement of the Scotland-Ukraine game. But there are going to be 3 unknown teams. And so the 3 unknowns are going to be kind of the winner of that UEFA playoff path, the winner of CONMEBOL AFC playoff, and then the winner of the CONCACAF OFC playoff. Mm-hmm. And so FIFA announced that those 3 winners, whoever they are, will all go into pot 4 for the draw, which when you look at some of the teams that, potentially are in play, Peru, Uruguay could be in play, mm-hmm. USA and Mexico could be in play, Wales, Scotland, Ukraine, Austria, they're good teams that are going to be in pot 4. Mm-hmm. And it does make the draw a little bit more interesting, because you kind of have these unknowns and you have these teams that could be really strong. So I think it makes the draw that much more interesting to have some of those strong teams at the bottom of pot 4.
Yeah. Why do you think that they made that decision? I mean, you may or may not have any insight. I certainly don't, but.
So what I think there are a few different things to consider. So CONCACAF OFC, I think, if you're just going strictly off the rankings, it's highly likely that whoever advances would have been in pot 4 anyway. I think that one is probably the most straightforward. CONMEBOL AFC, if it is an AFC team like Australia, they would also have been in pot 4 anyway. I don't think CONMEBOL necessarily would have been. So I think initially the plan, it was only going to be those 2 before the UEFA thing. I think they were kind of okay with, if it's Peru or Uruguay, there's one team in there that's potentially stronger. But if AFC qualifies and the other one, it's kind of going to shake out how it would have otherwise if we knew who the teams were. So that's, I don't really fault for. I don't know that there's necessarily any other way that you could handle those teams. The UEFA one I don't entirely get, because you're looking at, you know who the four teams are. You know it's Wales, Ukraine, Scotland, and Austria. And as it stands right now, three of those four teams, Wales, Austria, Ukraine, would have been in pot three. Scotland would have been in pot four, it just based on where the rankings are right now. Mm-hmm. So if I were making the decision, I would have put that team in pot three and said whoever comes from UEFA would go into pot three. The other piece of that is that there just are no other UEFA teams in pot four. Mm. And so Serbia is going to be in pot three. If Poland wins out of that path, they're going to be in pot three. So putting that other UEFA team in pot three, to me, would have made it more balanced. So honestly, I don't know why they did it. It seems like they took a better team and put them in pot four, and I don't really understand why they would do that.
Yeah. Yeah. That's FIFA. Who knows? Right.
But there are some interesting battles that, you know, are going to take place, just kind of around the edges of pot one, two, pot two and three. I just wanted to highlight a couple quick, you know, things to watch. And also a quick plug for one of our spreadsheets. This is my favorite. It's a World Cup pot and draw simulator. So the way that we have set it up is you have every single confederation that's still. So we just went around the world, talked through all the games. It's set up. You can enter all the scores, keep track of every single confederation, the standings. It's got all the friendlies in there too. So not just the which we didn't really talk about at all because it's not part of the World Cup qualifying.
But there is a lot.
But there are a lot of friendlies.
And there's some good ones too.
There are some good friendlies. And not only that, the friendlies can definitely have an impact. So there's how many friendlies do we have? We've got 89 friendlies I've got here. Between now and next week. But a lot of these matches, and you mentioned we've got some good ones. You've got the Netherlands playing Germany. Like that could have an impact on if a team makes pot one or pot two.
Denmark, and Netherlands as well, I think.
Denmark, yeah, exactly. And so if Italy or Portugal qualify directly, they're going to be the last seeded team. So right now we know Belgium's going to be seeded, Brazil, France, Argentina, England, and Spain. Those six teams, in addition to Qatar, we know are going to be seeded. And so the last spot in pot one, if Italy or Portugal do qualify, they're going to get that last spot. If Italy or Portugal don't, and it's Turkey, who you're picking, if it's Turkey or North Macedonia, they're not going to be in pot one. And then it kind of opens the window. Denmark, Netherlands, Germany, Mexico, even the USA could possibly get a seeded spot. Mm. It is not impossible based on what happens in this window. Mm. And so, you know, again, just shameless plug for our spreadsheet. We plugged everything in. You can enter scores for all the friendlies, all the matches, and you click a button and it'll calculate the FIFA rankings that they're going to use for the draw. And so you can see based on whatever results, you can adjust every single result and see what would happen to the FIFA rankings if you put them in and what the pots would look like. And then in addition to that, you can simulate once you kind of have the pots in your final 32 teams, you can simulate some of the groups and see what, you know, it could potentially look like. And, you know, it satisfies all the requirements where you have a different team from each confederation, max two UEFA, you know, keeps all that in consideration. So it's something it's really cool. I like can't stop playing with this tool. But you know, it's on our Twitter, it's on our website. If you want to grab that, it's an awesome and fun tool to mess around with and just kind of see what's going to happen, with the draw and with these pots.
Well, there you go. Everybody check it out. That's a fun thing. All right. Well, yeah, I think that pretty much wraps it up for this episode. I don't have any final thoughts, and you're shaking your head as well. So
yeah. We covered a lot over the last almost 2 hours.
Yes. So if you're still with us, thank you. Break this up into parts, maybe, I don't know, but we really appreciate all the support, all the listeners. You know, we can sort of see some of those things, and it's fun to see where people are listening in from. So thank you so much. And again, if you haven't followed us on Twitter and you'd like to, please do that. I always forget our Twitter handle. You know what it is.
Window INTL pod.
There we go. At window INTL pod. Thank you.
That's the pod one. And then follow Joe at 12th Yank. Follow us at @we_global.
Yep.
And we appreciate the support.
And we will hook you up with all your international football needs.
Absolutely. So. Whatever they may be.
That's right. Cool. Well, enjoy the break, everybody. Brandon, I'm sure you and I will be talking. Yeah. And
we'll be live on Twitter, and we may do a Twitter space here or there, but hopefully looking forward to interacting with everybody. And we'll be firing off numbers and comments, and it's going to be a good time.
Yes. I'm ready. Bring it on. See everyone.